It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. It has been 10 days since last we spoke. The last program was January the 10th. It is the 20th day of January, 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you would like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Yes, indeed. The folks are gathering already. Squeaky's there, Ralph's is there, Jimmy's there, and of course, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky is there, who is probably elated that his beloved Niners are headed to the Super Bowl. Yes, indeed. House of Roberts is in the house. Good to see you. Welcome aboard. And I'm back. Not back to West Virginia. There's Dowhead. That's cool. Let me get some things cleared up. I'm not back in West Virginia yet. We closed the show yesterday. And in the name of not interrupting the program any more than has already been done, I'm going to be leaving here on Saturday so that I've got the weekend. You know, I'll get home Saturday evening, and that gives me all day Sunday to try to problem solve inside the studio before we go back to the broadcast week, you know, the next broadcast week on Monday the 27th. Yep, the 27th. So with that in mind, I will not be in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump Virginia stand until the broadcast for Monday a week from now. So it'll be this for a little while longer. And all day long, I've been trying to, just asking myself, do you still know how to do this, Bob? And I think I do. I think I do. But my God almighty, there is so much to cram into the mere, meager 3 hours of this monumental Moran Monday. And I'll tell you straight up. I calculated, right. I added it up. I ciphered. Yesterday was 6 weeks to the day of me being down here. I love it down here. I would like to live at least part-time down here. I don't know how we could go about doing that at the moment, Agnes and me and Ferg. But my God, I'm ready to get home. I miss Agnes like the devil misses sin. And the professional broadcaster. Yeah, the 7 weeks of. Or the 6 weeks of work that we did putting into this play in memory of my dear friend Kyle Weir, our dear friend Kyle Weir. It has been invigorating and at the same time exhausting. And of course, it's my first program back after a while, so what's happening? We're having technical difficulties. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. We are having technical difficulties in over on White Rose. Brother Deacon Asa saying White Rose is timing out. And I'm showing that I'm sending with no problem whatsoever, so that must be on the server, and I'll try to get hold of Ben Birch and see if we can get it sorted. But that's, it's all too typical. I just got a message from Agnes, too. She said, you better get home or I'll go all Eleanor on your arse and I'll win. You can try. That's always the response throughout the whole play. Every time she says she'll kill him, she'll take this from him, that from him, keep him. And Henry always answers, you can try. And that's the other thing. I've spent all day trying to get Henry out of my voice. I don't know if he's all the way out yet. There are some lines that I will never, ever forget. Like questions that begin, how in the name of bleeding Jesus? I just love that. Say that again to me at noon, and lamb, say that again to me at noon, and you'll say it to my horse's arse. Agnes reminding me, I'm a freaking Viking, man. That she is. She is. Oh, my God. But we closed the play yesterday, and there's a huge emotional come down that comes with it. And so that's been part of my day, too. But I always love the closing of Shakespeare's The Tempest, where Prospero addresses the audience and says, our revels now are ended. These, our actors, as I foretold you, were all spirits and have melted into air, into thin air. And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherit, shall dissolve. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rack behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. Indeed, indeed. Oh, and another program note, there's just going to be a whole lot of housekeeping to take care of during the first few minutes of the program. It's unavoidable. There's no Facebook video today. Because last week I packed everything up and took it to the theater to do some video of it so that I could come back and review and things like that. So it's still packed up. I may, maybe for Tuesday, if y'all want it, for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I can get up tomorrow and get the video rig hooked up and we can have... We can have video as well, but I just wanted to make sure that everything else was working today. So there's that. Now, like I said, I have a ton of thank yous to extend because while I was gone. Those 5 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of last week, our loyal and faithful subscribers, the happy few, help keep things afloat. And others did as well. The fundraising goal for this evening is $260. It's $260 because people helped out along the way. We closed the program Friday before last, minus $295, and we got it all the way down to $60 over the course of the last week. So thanks go out to our buddy Tom in the Bay Area, and to subscribers Christopher and Mary Bell, Tony and Chico, Paul from Parts Unknown, John, Paul, Mark, Gary in New York, Suman, thank you. Thank you to Greg, and thank you to Gary in Oregon and Gaia. Thanks, of course, to Steve in New York, to Matt in San Francisco. Thank you to Ralphs, and thank you to Paul. Thank you very kindly indeed. Lost my place. Working. And thank you this evening. Kat in Ohio and Lady B both jumped in, and that's how we got down to only $60 to make up for the shortfall last week. Thank you very much indeed. Now we can get back to it. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut and Robert. Thank you to Glenn. Thank you to Timothy. Thank you, Brock. Thank you, different Timothy. Thank you to Reinhard out on the Virginia coast. Thank you to Beth in Dallas. Thank you to Patricia. Thank you to Chris in Germany. To Gary, Laborman, thank you. Thank you to Nancy and Ralphs. And thank you to Barbara, Charlene, Stephen, Grace. Thank you very kindly, one and all. Thank you to Mike in Cascadia and Sharon and Paul. Thank you to Vincent and Carl. Thank you to Dr. John, and thank you to Armand. And again, rounding out the day, thank you to Kat and to Lady B, and thank you to Tom in the Bay Area. Those are all the folks who helped keep things going while I was away from the mic. Thank you all for your subscriptions and your a la carte contributions. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. And so that takes care of that part of the housekeeping, and we're only 12 minutes into the program. Yay. But it so very much is. And by the way, along the way, thanks for all the warm wishes for the show. What I was saying a moment ago is that we did this all in memory of a dear, dear man who was a beloved friend of ours who passed away back in 2017. And it took 2 years to pull this whole thing together. And it was a labor of love. And no one deluded themselves into thinking that it was by any means a professional production, because we're all amateurs. But we did try to be as professional about it as we could, and I could not. We had a fantastic cast, from the youngest to the oldest, namely me. Our cast ranged in age from 17 to me, and it was a delight to work with every last one of them. And that's part of the, you know, that's part of the heartbreak of closing a community theater production, because everybody goes their separate ways. And, you know, in many instances, you never know if you'll see any of them again. Odds are you probably won't. But we all finished thoroughly satisfied that we had done as much as humanly possible to memorialize our dear friend Kyle. And that was what it was all about. And so now, as the punchline to one of my favorite jokes goes, coffee breaks over, back on our heads, back on my head. And one other thing to mention that was just an absolute delight. The Saturday night show, somebody knocked on the dressing room door And lo and behold, there stood Joey from Cleveland. I was like, what the? And he just decided to get in the car and come down to Northwest Alabama to see the play. And told me later that he had a magnificent, marvelous, wonderful time. And being the rock and roll fan that he is, he toured some of the sites here. He sent me a picture of him and his stuffed giraffe that travels with him, Jeffrey the giraffe. Giraffrey. Posed in front of Fame Recording Studios. He went to Helen Keller's birthplace. He visited the birthplace of William Christopher Handy, W.C. Handy, and was wearing a Handy Museum t-shirt when he came to the theater. I was so thrilled and honored that someone would make that kind of drive to see our little production of The Lion in Winter. So thank you, Joey. Thank you so much, man. Made my night. And, well, like I said, I'm heading home. And, the title of the play was The Lion in Winter, and we have had, oddly enough, not much winter until the play closed. And now, with the closing of the play, it is fucking freezing. There are four degrees Fahrenheit difference right now between up home in the hills and down here in the sunny south. And I don't know when it's going to get above freezing up there. It may in a day or two here. Wow. So finally getting some use for the warm use out of the cold weather clothing. But I've got to pack up and clean up the apartment and make sure I get my deposit back and all of that stuff. And I'll head for home as early as I can get out the door on Saturday. So that's, I guess that brings us up to date from January 10th to January the 20th today. And that means, well, yes, that means now we get on with the business of dealing with what today is. And you know what today is.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. Here, behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you'll find them all. Morans of every variety. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, maggots, trumpanzees, Morans, Republicans, all. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. They're all right here for you. And you can't tell your Morans without a program. And this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. For the low, low subscriber price of less than a half a pack of chewing gum a day, you too can be supportive of our Moran identifying, Moran exposing efforts each and every Monday, and frankly, every other program day of the week, because we never run out. They're always, behold, the Morans are always with ye. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Just a few mere steps away, meager feet from where only moments ago you were engaged in the futile attempt to put a ping pong ball into a goldfish bowl so as to win a baby iguana and bring it home where it can grow to be the size of a Volkswagen Beetle and terrorize the neighbors. Yes, we're right here for Moran Monday on the Horn. The standard disclaimers apply for anyone entering the Moran Monday tent. Yes, indeed. Keep a close hand on watches, bracelets, rings, necklaces, jewelry, even the stuff that you have pierced through your flesh. Because the Morans can get grabby. head for the hills, or we'll be up to our armpits in morans.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. And where to start? Well, I think I've been trying to theme it out all day. You know, we've got the impeachment trial starting in the Senate. That's a massive conversation, a giant time suck. But today, and there's no way I could not mention this. Stand by, please. Still trying to find out if anything's going on, if the White Rose Society stream has righted itself. Yeah. So anyway, we've got to deal with the Senate trial, and you know what? The Senate trial may be over as quickly as it opens, and we'll get to that. But that's the plan that the deeply compromised asset of a foreign nation, Moscow Mitch McConnell, has devised, and you know his aides and accomplices and. Lick spittles and, you know, Republicans. So we've got that, but it's today is the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And naturally, well, let's start it this way. I note on this day every year that one of the fundamental problems that attends Dr. King's holiday is that for the vast majority, I dare say, of white people in this country, they know only that Dr. King had some sort of a dream once upon a time, don't know when, but he's a big dreamer, that Dr. King. And so they tend to gloss over the reality of his life of advocacy and service in favor of something that's palatably safe and non-threatening. Well, that's not history. That's not the reality. Dr. King was a radical. Dr. King was not a goddamn Republican, no matter how many maggots try to tell you that he was. He actively campaigned for Lyndon Baines Johnson in 1964. But the only thing that way too many white folks know is that he had a dream. And his dream had something to do with not being quite so mean to black people. And so every year, the further we get from his life, every year at this holiday, I make a prediction. Eventually, if this nation lasts long enough, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., will eventually be Santa Claus. Because remember, St. Nicholas was not anything vaguely resemblant of the holiday creature that helps hawk everything from children's toys to soda pop to
booze at the Christmas season. There's no resemblance whatsoever. And so, too, eventually, with the Dr. King mattress sale circulars, and come on in to Fred's Used Cars for the big MLK Day used car sell-a-thon. Eventually, and I personally think this is kind of the goal. We will make of Dr. King and his life and his mission and his work something absolutely meaningless. And then terrified, mostly white people, won't have to be quite so scared anymore. Because, you know, that's the purpose here, is to make it, you know, make sure everybody's nice and comfortable. And, right. So, I try to go and look into some of Dr. King's writings that were not that speech that he delivered in August of 1963, in which, I spoke wrongly. There is something besides the dreaming business, that white wingers also know about Dr. King, and that it was that once upon a time he said that a person should be judged by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. And that makes them feel all warm and fuzzy inside, the white wingers. And suffice to say, there is, with every MLK Day, there will be some white wingers out there who do something disgusting. Yeah, exactly. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, by the time they're done with him, Dr. King will be Nordic white. And they did the same thing to St. Nicholas, because remember, St. Nicholas was not white, folks. But after 1,000 years or so, they put the white face on him and it stuck. You know, did the same thing to Jesus. Blonde hair, blue eyes, probably so pale that, like me, he would get a third degree sunburn just reaching into the refrigerator under the refrigerator light bulb. That's the goal. And even as people try to make a meaningful day of this and reflect upon the magnificence of Dr. King's life, well, yeah, I said earlier, the Morans you have always with you, well, it translates to the Republicans you have always with you. And so let's check in with our first Moran of the day. Kellyanne Conway, answering a reporter's question, that's counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, or refugee from Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium Wax Museum, Kellyanne Conway. Jesus, in profile, she looks like an unwrapped mummy. And that's being mean to the mummies. But she was asked, and it's not an unreasonable question by any stretch of the imagination. She was asked how Nitwit Nero was spending his MLK Day. We're almost 30 minutes into the program, and I hope that just because I've been away for a while, you didn't let any dust gather on the hockey puck, because it's going to taste terrible, because it's time to stick it in your mouth and bite down on it real good and run the duct tape around. Otherwise, you'll be shrieking. Stand by, please. Hockey puck's in place. Here we go.
What is President Trump doing to observe King Day?
Well, Martin Luther King Day today. Well, I can tell you that the president is preparing for Davos and agrees with many of the things that Dr. Martin Luther King stood for and agreed with for many years, including unity and equality. And he's not the one trying to tear the country apart through an impeachment process and a lack of substance that really is very shameful at this point. I've held my opinion on it for a very long time, but...
No, you haven't, you filthy fucking liar. You haven't held it. Okay, you've held an opinion on it, but you certainly haven't held your nasty, forked, pointy tongue. Yes. I want to make sure that we get this straight. Chlamydia Claudius is marking Dr. King's birthday holiday by preparing, and I think that probably means watching Fox News, for the economic summit in Davos, which would have the principles of which would have driven Dr. King, had he not been murdered by a racist, right up a tree. Because they get the swells get together in Davos and sit around and talk with their teeth clenched and call each other babe. I don't know. And they talk about what we must do with the economy to make sure that the little people know their place. Dr. King recognized that, well, the little people are the ones who matter. You know, us. Preparing. Oh, my aching back. But then she moves into impeachment, and see if you hear the same thing I heard when I was previewing this.
When you see the articles of impeachment that came out, I don't think it was within Dr. King's vision to have Americans drag through a process where the president is not going to be removed from office.
You stupid old white lady. Dragged through a process? Fuck me dead. No. You're part of a party that's made up of people who like to not drag a president through a process, but drag people through streets behind pickup trucks. Jesus. She actually invoked, this is the second or third time I've heard this, and I'm still not okay. She actually invoked Dr. King's name to say that Donald Trump should not have been impeached for doing the dirty stuff that he did that got him impeached. I'm out of both tequila and swirly straws. Whatever shall I do?
Is not being charged with bribery, extortion, high crimes, or misdemeanors. And I think that anybody who cares about end justice for all on today or any day of the year will appreciate the fact that the president now will have a full throttle defense on the facts. And everybody should have that.
Full throttle or full throated? I think she meant full throated, but, well, bless her heart, she's a goddamn moron. Yeah. Jesus. Like I said, it is a day rich in morons. Morons. And by the way, we've crossed a bit of a threshold. According to at least one piece of polling data, there are now more people in the United States who believe not only that Trump should have been impeached, but that the Senate should actually remove him from office. I told you we'd get to this sooner or later. CNN commissioned the polling data firm SSRS and 51% of Americans responding to the poll extrapolated to the rest of the country are in agreement that the Senate should convict him upon the articles of impeachment and then move to the process whereby he is then removed from office. Drag him out in chains, haul him away in cufflinks, make him do the perp walk. By any means necessary, as I believe Malcolm X once noted. I would say any legal means. But there are enough Republican senators who, by the way, represent far fewer human beings than the Democratic minority senators do. Remember, California, New York, you each only get two measly senators, while, lo and behold, Arkansas gets two, Alabama gets two, even though one of them's a Democrat. Georgia Stan gets two, Talibandiana gets two. So you've got more Republican senators representing a whole lot less American people. And because of that, the impeachment trial in the Senate may be over before it even gets started. And I'd say it's probably 99-1 that it is definitely over before there's anything resembling a trial. And that will be a vast miscarriage of the intent of the framers of the Constitution's plain language. Yeah. Now, here, let me, oh, by the way, I need to check email. Thank you very kindly to Darlene in Connecticut. Welcome back, Bob. Thank you. Obligatory Star Trek reference coming from Lee in New York. Born 100 years ago today, DeForest Kelly. Bones, Dr. McCoy. I didn't know that. Thank you. this goes back to the St. Nicholas comments, and Steve in New York says, next you're going to say St. Nicholas wasn't white. And by Jove, he was ahead of the curve, because shortly thereafter, I said exactly that. Scott in San Diego, subject line MLK Day. And don't forget, sheets half off, well, on actually, at the big MLK white sale all this week down at Fred Trump's White Sheet Emporium. I think Scott just earned a... Yes, definitely earned that. I've taken to referring to Trump online as Soak. S-O-A-K. Son of a Klansman. Soak. I didn't... are you kidding? Dave in Talibandiana says, St. Nicholas was known to have assaulted a bishop during a council over the Arian heresy. That's A-R-I-A-N, not A-R-Y-A-N. Different thing. People who did not believe in the Trinity or that Jesus was divine, he physically assaulted the man. Not your jolly old St. Nick. Dr. King should be known as a human being, which he was, instead of selling cars and mattresses and toys and candy on MLK Day, perhaps. If business would do something radical like clothes and invite their customers to join them in some community service, just a thought from the blind. Brought to you by Dave in the Blind. Thanks, Dave. And so that brings us to how a whole lot of white people were celebrating MLK Day in Richmond, Virginia. Because today was their great big insurrection in support of their claimed right to run around scaring the shit out of people with their goons. And so there were thousands of people at the state capitol in Richmond. Governor Northam declared a temporary state of emergency last week and banned the carrying of firearms on the grounds of or in the buildings of the capital of the Old Dominion. This, of course, caused the good God-fearing, upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexuals to go right out of their tiny, itsy, bitsy, teeny little minds. They filed lawsuits. Ralph Northam's trampling the Constitution. I ain't never read it, and I don't know what it means, but that's, Constitution says you got to be able to carry guns. I got to take guns everywhere I want, because guns, freedom! Yeah. And so consequently, you get, journalists went and put microphones in the faces of some of the attendees of that great big Klan rally in Richmond. Here's how bad it is. You know how much I love Secret Sandwich Society in Fayetteville, West Virginia. Well, there's another Secret Sandwich Society. There's actually two of them. One in Fayetteville, that's the original, and the other is in Richmond. And at that one, you know, they got a little bit swankier digs, the food's the same, but they also sell liquor and mixed drinks and things like that. So, Secret Sandwich Society in Richmond was closed today due to the fear of violence, and I presume the fact that they did not want to be descended upon, because it's fairly close to the Capitol. They did not want to be descended upon by a whole bunch of people who, being Republicans and gun humpers, might either intentionally or unintentionally create a massacre inside their nice little restaurant. And so our buddy Paul, a member of the Fraternity of Pauls, we have several now, sent along the video, and I watched it in slack-jawed, open-mouthed, fly-catching wonder at the stupidity of what you're about to... I mean, this is Morian Monday, and by God, this is pro. As Paul described it, the longest pregnant pause in answering a question since Bill Barr failed to answer Kamala Harris. Ooh, that's good. So behold the gun humper. He's standing there with a button on that says "Guns Save Lives." Now, you're not supposed to be able to carry guns onto the Capitol grounds, but this fucker's carrying a gun, so because that's the other thing they called for. If we can't carry guns on the Capitol grounds and inside the Capitol, we're going to need thousands and thousands of people carrying guns just beyond the line, because they want to show how peaceful they are by threatening everybody in Richmond, Virginia. And, of course, the white nationalists are there and the white supremacists are there. Right. So a reporter, and by way of background, let's recall that the reason they're doing this is because in the wake of the lawful, awful gun owner who blew away people in Virginia Beach last year, well, the Democrats, who for the first time in eons have a majority in both houses of the Virginia legislature and a Democrat in the governor's office, they've proposed a set of extremely weak, barely noticeable lawful regulations on firearms in that state. I mean, it's crazy, okay? One of the things that those commies want to do over in Virginia is limit a person to only being able to buy one gun a month. Imagine that. Only one gun a month. I mean, how can any person possibly consider themselves free if they can't buy a gun a day? That's even trampling the Constitution. You need to be able to spend every penny you got on guns every day, all day, and twice on Sunday. So that's one of the laws they proposed. Another one closes the private transaction loophole for background checks.
What?
Hmm? Now, that's just off the top of my head. That's just a couple. What a bunch of just decent, upstanding patriots they are. Shannon Watts, who leads Moms Demand Action, was inundated by white wing POSs because, well, they've been working for these teeny tiny little largely ineffective pieces of legislation that are being pondered in Virginia. And one of the memes that she had she received from them, and I'm looking for it now. One person describing huge numbers of armed groups in military gear in Richmond today. Some of them walking around waving their urine-colored snake flag. But they're a nasty and vulgar lot. Oh, and by the way, there was a Holocaust denier there, because of course we can check in on that.
You wear a swastika and walk down the street. You took it off and you're now like, oh no.
You deny the Holocaust.
We deny the existence of Holocaust.
The reason I
wear, it was nine gay guys in a rollerblading accident. How many times do I have to say
I
this?
I wear the MAGA hat because I want to wear the MAGA hat. Why should I answer your questions when you haven't answered any of mine? All I asked was this. Why is it that you say 6 million, but when 30 million die, 70 million die?
I didn't even question that. We're not having that conversation.
So how do you feel about Foxman from ADL telling Ukrainian people do not compare the Holocaust to the Holocaust?
You're turning the subject to hide the fact that you are literally a neo-Nazi.
Wait. No, I'm not a neo-Nazi.
You wear a swastika and walk down the street.
Somehow or another, they're not sending their best. And there's... You know, they're marching along with their steel penis substitutes, these pathetic freaks. It's a sort of, I guess you could think of it as cosplay with a homicidal urge. And I can't find the one thing that was sent to Shannon Watts. It was truly disgusting. One of the gun humpers said, imagine thinking you can take... I'll just paraphrase. Imagine thinking you could take away someone's constitutional rights. Because remember, it's moms demand action. Imagine thinking you could take away someone's constitutional rights because you let someone come in you. Yeah, that's what these constitutional Christians, that's what they are. At this point in time, Shannon Watts can't even keep up with the death threats. Leaders of Moms Demand Action in Virginia have been doxxed by these putrid white supremacist freaks. And so this is, and the point I'm trying to make is, make no mistake, this wasn't just a scheduling accident. They chose the Dr. King holiday to send a message about their vision for America. Now, if this was a couple of thousand black guys walking around with guns, people would be, well, especially Republicans would be freaking the out. Make no mistake. But let's go back to our original Moran. This individual who was asked what it is that he was there to protest. I don't know that this is hockey puck material, but you might want to do something to cover up the, because you're liable to laugh so loud you'll rouse the neighbors. Behold the intellectual prowess of the gun humping right.
What is it within Northam's proposals that just really rubs you the wrong way?
Some of the worst ones would be the details on where...
Is this guy related to Miss Teen South Carolina of some decade back or so? I would. For the Iraq, such as... And our buddy Paul is right. These are some like 10 months pregnant pauses. And I don't think he's freezing up just because somebody's got a camera and a microphone pointed at him. He's freezing up because he literally does not know anything about the issue. He just knew that it was going to be a chance to come out and try to scare the fuck out of people with his gun by toting it around and seeking attention. And that's about as far as it goes. He's just a little follower with no real understanding of the world he lives in, or of the people who manipulate him. And so you get this.
What is it within Northam's proposals that just really rubs you the wrong way?
Some of the worst ones would be the details on where...
Yeah?
You could be considered a militia, and under those parts you could be considered a felon for practicing in arms together where they would have to shoot down ranges. And where the wording...
He finally did come up with a couple. Naturally, the ones that he came up with are simply not vaguely related to factual. These gun goons have been spreading the idea that them goddamn Democrats is going to make it illegal to take karate classes. No shit. I'm not kidding. This is real.
So loose, it could include a father and son teaching the son how to hunt, and that's malicious training. Same with, it could probably fall under karate classes.
Told you.
Just say, read more into it. I mean, right now, there's so many, I think there's three different ones. Parts of some went through. I believe the governor did something on taxes for purchasing firearms and munitions. I don't know the details on it exactly.
None, no details.
Sure, treated like an NRA tax. Or it's just for purchasing suppressors, doing SBR, short-barreled rifles. It's a $200 tax stamp just to have a file review. I did that. We did 11 months for my suppressor, which in arbitrary law, I mean, this is technically a pistol, not a short-barreled rifle. Because it started as a pistol, not a pistol brace. If I remove this, put it on a stock, it's not a short-barreled rifle. I didn't do a Form 1 tax stamp for $200, and therefore I'd be a felon if I put a real stock on, instead of the pistol brace that your arm goes through. It's completely legal to do, because it's still a pistol. It's all about the wording. The whole purpose of the NFA Act is arbitrary now. Look up the research on it. It's...
Yeah,
that... Chip away the rights plan, one at a time.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of the whole clip is right there at the end when he says, look up some research on it. Which I guess in this little Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby's world means going over to InfoWars. God almighty. Wow. And it's been like that all day. I mean, the IQs of those people gathered there, I got a feeling that the ambient outside air temperature in Florence, Alabama right now is higher than the average IQ of the gun humpers in Richmond today. And it's taken me an hour to get around to saying this. Yes, you did. Brother Deacon Asa says, pretty sure I heard Homeboy use the words militia and malicious interchangeably. Rewind if you must. No, you did. You did. I heard it. You heard it. We all. Because they're morons. You know, morons. And it's the combination of, yes, they're morons, and yes, they have guns. That's, and so they chose the Dr. King holiday as a way of trying to constructively, and I don't mean it constructively in a good way. I mean it in the legal sense. Trying to constructively overturn the Dr. King holiday. I mean, what could be more obvious? Dr. King was unflinching in his espousal of nonviolence. And so you get a horde of angry white people marching around Richmond, Virginia, carrying the most profound tools of violence. And they did it, of course, because it's who they are. It's who they are. And hey, we just a little bit ago, we took the fundraising goal down to $250 with a brand new subscriber. Thank you to Richard. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. Awesome to see a new subscriber and take a little bite out of the out of the fundraising hole. Thank you so much. So that just. It's the idea of holding a pseudo Klan rally on the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday is utterly repulsive. Naturally, then, the guy in the White House who's preparing for Davos, you know, Soak, son of a Klansman, naturally, he promoted this gunned up Klan rally in Richmond. Because, of course, he did. I mean, at one and the same time, they're utterly predictable, and yet somehow we still manage to be shocked at just how godforsaken, hateful, nasty, and ugly they really, really, really are. And so that takes us into the top of the second hour. And I guess we do need to talk a little bit about the impeachment trial. Well, the fix is in. And I'm violating my own little rule by even calling it an impeachment trial. It is the impeachment cover-up. And they're going to have to work harder and harder and harder to maintain the cover-up. Because more and more and more shit is leaking out. I'm so old, I remember the Clinton impeachment. And how the Republicans would talk about drip, drip, drip. Well, here it is. And the dripping is quickly becoming more than, well, the faucet's just open. It's not drip, drip, drip. It's just, and so on. So, for instance, it turns out that, yes, son of a gun. How about that? There are tapes. There are audio recordings. Mm-hmm. Lev Parnas's lawyer has turned over audio recordings that he has of both Rudy Giuliani, and Chlamydia Claudius, The tapes haven't seen the light of day, but we do now know that they exist. So there's that. And as Ralphs pointed out to me a little bit ago, Lev Parnas' lawyer has now written to Bill Barr to prosecution, demanding that Bill Barr to prosecution recuse himself from the prosecution of his client, Lev Parnas, and asks for a special prosecutor. That's not dismiss the charges. That's an argument to make to the court. But according to reporting by Tom Winter, his lawyer faxed the letter to Barr today, and because Bill Barr is now, I mean, he's been implicated too. Drip, drip, drip. And so now they're going to have to cover that up, Moscow Mitch and his accomplices, his Republican accomplices. So it's only getting worse. And that's why just moments ago, there were a number of news alerts that I received that says that the Senate's rules, in other words, Moscow Mitch's rules for the impeachment, have been, well, news organizations have learned what they are. Moscow Mitch doesn't want anybody arguing anything, but at this point, at this stage, both sides will present opening arguments, and they've got 2 days each for a total of 24 hours of total argument. Now, that's not witness testimony. That's not questioning. That's just the argument. And that is a whole lot less than was provided for even in the impeachment trial of Bill Clinton over the question of whether a president could be removed from office for a consensual act of oral sex. After the 24 hours of arguments, 12 to a side, the senators will then get 16 hours to ask questions. And after that, there will be 4 hours of debate. And then there will be an up or down vote on whether the Senate wishes to hear from witnesses or see any documents. And that little wrinkle is in there. It's a fig leaf for Lisa Murkowski and, of course, Susan Collins to tuck behind. It's a Senate resolution, this rules package. And we don't know whether or not at this point, we don't know what the Democrats are going to do, or if they can even muster up enough votes to make it mean anything. They may just get rolled. Damn. So again, the fix is in. And make no mistake, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins have no intention whatsoever of doing their duty to the Constitution. They merely want to create an appearance. Again, a fig leaf. Because the most fundamental truth about any of this is that they both come from states that have a lot of people with a lot of guns who vote Republican. And they, like any other Republican, are motivated not only fear of people at the ballot box, but fear of people with the ammunition box. Because that's exactly where we are right now. This country is being held hostage, whether it's in Richmond or Washington, D.C. This is a country held hostage by a gang of ill-informed, ill-intentioned, ill-willed, mostly white, gun obsessives. And that's all there is to it. And that's before we even get to the discussion in the impeachment cover-up of, chinless Moscow Mitch trying to craft what is being referred to as a kill switch. Whereby impeachment can just be done away with. Turn off the lights, everybody leaves. What impeachment? And don't be surprised if they do it. I mean, we can be outraged and everything, but this whole thing is an outrage. The Donald Trump presidency is an outrage against the Constitution. And that's just a fact. Note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, I have a dream. Welcome back. To quote the Welcome Back Cotter theme, you've been away too damn long. To the point, it appears to me that white folks are shitting your pants scared of something. Could it possibly be me and folks that look like me? The dream I have is that the I have a dream speech be put on lockdown. How about Dr. King's anti-poverty speeches or his speech calling America the biggest purveyor of violence in the world? Yeah, the Riverside Church speech 1 year to the day before he was murdered. That one might surprise all those content of their character Republicans out there. Ron continues and says, at the end of his life, white folks hated Dr. King. You remember when Evan Meacham of Arizona refused to recognize the King holiday? I absolutely do. And I remember how the now deified John McCain opposed it for all he was worth. And Silent R. Lamar asking sarcastically, when you remove a Trump follower's head from his ass, how much smoke can you then blow up it? Vast quantities, Silent R. Lamar, vast quantities. Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Frank and Beans in the chat room. So there's a time limit on truth in the Senate cover up. Yeah, oh yeah. Preferably none at all. But you know everything that went down last week. You saw, I presume, as I did, the two part Rachel Maddow interview with Lev Parnas. And you know that there have been dimes dropping all over the place. And along the way, oh dear me, along the way, A big shout out to Representative Ted Lieu of California. Because here in the last year of the second decade of the 21st century, we don't let Congress people duel anymore and just go outside and take shots at each other. I think there are probably some people who would support that. Instead, we threaten lawsuits. And that's exactly what Devin Nunes, who sues cartoon cows, for instance, and complains of damage to his reputation, how you can damage something that has no substance in the, well, has no good to it. Well, that evades me. But Devin Nunes threatened, had his lawyer write a threatening letter threatening to sue Ted Lieu for what he had said about Devin Nunes. Well, here's the thing. Ted Lieu is a lawyer. And he's probably a much better lawyer than Devin Nunes's lawyer, because Devin Nunes's lawyer agreed to be a lawyer for Devin Nunes, and that says something about him, the lawyer. We can say other things about Devin Nunes. So Ted Lieu got the threatening letter and wrote back a letter of his own saying, truth is an absolute defense, and I would welcome your lawsuit. We'll have a field day with it, and so you can take your threatening letter and this is a quote from Ted Lieu, shove it. Ted Lieu maintaining a little bit of decorum and not suggesting where this pettifogging shitbird lawyer could shove it. But I think we've all got a pretty good idea. And so definite little golf clap for Ted Lieu. Awesome. So let's see. I've got somebody on the stress line. Let's find out who. Hey, welcome to the program.
Happy New Year to you, Bob. It's me, Reggie from Decatur, Georgia. Welcome back, by the way.
Well, thank you. Thank you kindly. Good to hear from you, Reggie. How are you?
Just fine. Well, you know what happened in Virginia today or this weekend, this past weekend?
Reggie, I've been talking about it for the last hour. You not listening to the program, buddy?
Oh, I just turned you on about a few minutes ago. But now you got these idiots, these protests out there going, calling racist Ralph or something like that. Richard, I think.
Ralph, you mean Ralph Northam, governor of Virginia?
Yeah, that's it, Ralph. Yeah, they're calling him racist, these protests. I'm sure you know exactly what side they're on. And it's not ours, I don't think. You know, these conservative gun rights, gun nuts, gun freaks, gun ass atheists, I mean gun fetishists, as you call them. Call them racist Ralph. You know, hey, ho, ho, racist Ralph, we gotta go. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, they're hearkening back to the blackface photo, or trying to.
Yeah. And speaking of blackface, then you got Kellyanne Conway saying that if MLK were alive here today, he would oppose.
That was our first audio clip of the program.
How exactly the fuck would she know what he would be thinking if he was alive today?
She's just making it up, Reggie. She's just making it up, buddy. She's a lying sack of shit. She's what we call up West Virginia way oblivet. And a blivet is 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound onion bag.
Yeah, but these blivets, as you refer to them, unfortunately, get on television. They get air and press time, and we don't. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Those who do this for a living, not myself personally. You know, those blivets get all the air time they want in the world, and we get next to nothing, next to zip. You know what I mean?
I do.
You know. Yeah, we get next to nothing to air our side. and to debate these people. I mean, what are they frightened of? What are they afraid of? These people are nothing but human beings like us. They're not gods and whatnot. I mean, they're not going to make you vanish without a trace if you agree with them or debate them or challenge them in any way, shape, or form whatsoever, Bob. They're human beings just like us.
Yeah, but they seem determined. Depending on who you're talking about, they seem determined not to act the part.
Well, I'm talking about Mrs. Conway and her boss.
Yeah, she does everything in her power to make it clear that she does not want to be considered to be human just like us.
But you don't think she's one of those deep people, right? You know, those face lizards, you know, V.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
She's not one of them, are
you? You know, I've always kind of gone with pod person, but that's a possibility, I suppose.
Right, and I just hope that the Democrats don't let the Republicans, shall we say, subvert or disrupt the hearings, the impeachment hearings, once they get fully underway, or let that idiot Moscow Mitch do anything to try to stop or obstruct them or prevent them from going forward. And he needs to be recused, by the way, but I'm sure that won't happen. Not within our lifetimes anyway, right, Bob?
That one would hope,
you know,
yeah.
You know, the turtle. Yeah, and I hope Nancy doesn't give this guy a Mitch, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't be intimidated by him. And don't be bullied by him either, him or his cronies. You know what I mean? Because that's exactly what they're trying to do. They try to distract us and disrupt us. And we've got to have gun control, safety, and rights in this country, you know. You know what I just said, right, Bob?
Yeah.
You gotta, you know, because we got lunatics, and of course the NRA is gonna defend these protesters, you know. These things don't work.
That's a good point, Reggie, and we should bear that in mind. These things do not organize themselves. And you know, every time two or three liberals get together next to a phone booth, there's some asshole over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda shrieking about George Soros. Even if there's no connection. On the other hand, however, like I said, these things like these gun goons in Richmond don't organize themselves, and the money has to come from somewhere for all the buses and whatnot. And you got to wonder how many NRA rubles are in all of that.
Yeah. Is Dana Lush one of them? She used to be that spokesperson. You know, because she's a gun owner too, with two practically grown teenage boys. One's college bound. Well, her oldest is college bound. And she's a gun nut, gun owner too, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And she supports the protesters, you know. And of course, she supports gun rights. And, you know, gun ownership. But like you said, the money has to come from somewhere. You don't think it's coming from one of the Koch brothers, do you?
I think there's probably a shit ton of rubles in it.
Oh, okay.
You know, Russian currency filtered into the NRA just like they did in 2016.
Right. Do you think that Russia himself is also behind this, him and Alex Jones?
Anything to sow discord, anything to sow division. But the NRA connection with Russia is something that is well worth availing yourself to learn about.
Right. Well, I forgot about Mr. Pierre. I'm sure he's behind this too, even though he's not there anymore. But I'm sure he's behind this. Him and Psycho Ted. I mean, Teddy Boy Nugent. They're gun nuts too, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, one shit his pants to get out of Vietnam.
Charming,
I don't know
huh?
About Wayne LaPeter.
Yeah, speaking of which, I read a story the other day, a Russian media outlet has purchased time on a radio station in Kansas City. They're paying to pump Russian propaganda over the airwaves on a right wing Kansas City station.
Oh God! What can we do about it, Bob? We got to come back and stop this somehow. What can we do about it as liberal progressives?
I don't know that there is anything. You know, I mean, capitalism.
Oh, that's right.
Did the check clear? That's the only thing.
Right. Well, we love capitalism too, but it's that we love it with responsibility. We love capitalism with responsibilities, right? It does come with responsibilities, does it not?
Well, it also tends to destroy whatever it touches, but that's a conversation for another day. I got another call on the line, Reggie. Yeah. It's good to hear from you, my friend. Stay warm, and we'll talk soon, okay?
You stay warm too, Bob, and don't work too hard, man. And welcome back, as I say, by the way.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Later.
Yeah, you're welcome, Bob.
Bye.
I'll call you again soon.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
See you, Reggie. And that's Reggie calling from Decatur, Georgia, not Alabama. And now let's run over and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Pedro, we don't see you, Pedro. Now you done turn yourself loose. We know you's leaning left. We don't see you. You can't lie, Pedro. Now look, y'all people been leaning left. You beat every day. All y'all do is beat up on Donald Trump. Now you don't want us to have no gun. What's wrong with you?
I know.
It's Martin Luther King Day. If that man had a gun, he wouldn't have got shot.
He could have at least shot back.
See? That's what I'm saying. Now you're thinking.
Guns save lives.
Guns save lives. That's what the church tells us. It's in the Bible. Hey, see, if you got your heart cut, you know that.
Wait a minute. That was for if you got your hair cut, you'd know that.
That's what them nerve endings is at, son.
Oh, God. I can't. That's enough of that. Excuse me.
Jesus, you can't do that too long, or it'll start to impact the functioning of your brain, Todd.
I could feel it. It was like a spirochete just eating at my axons and dendrites, and it was just like nothing left. I was getting all Trumpy.
Yeah, it's just up in your brain going nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, here I am. I got no food, and the motherfucker's eating my brain away. Ain't that some shit?
Ain't it just?
So, you know what's funny? Now, you guys just now were talking about the NRA with this march. And not one reporter, not one. I didn't hear anything. Maybe I wasn't watching the news enough. No one said, oh, Maria Butina. Oh, she infiltrated, you know, the highest echelons of the NRA with Russian money. I didn't hear a word about that. Did you?
Nary a peep.
I
wonder why.
I don't know, but this is past factual. This is empirical at this point. You know, it's been on the docket and it went through. I just thought about that when you guys. It never occurred to me. But oh my God, what the fuck? And so, once again, a disservice for the mainstream media.
But it seems like they always find a way to mention, you know, to get somebody on, goddamn George Soros. But did you see anybody interviewed saying, what about the NRA? Where's the money for this coming from? Who's paying for this? Who's fronting this?
Not a peep. Not a peep. You know, I think the thing is so big that I had to go back to that documentary, and it's dated. Like, I mean, dated, like pre-1990 probably. KGB connections, and it's out there on the internet. This is the real deal. These are real people. You know, Russia has been trying to do this, has been doing it for a very long time.
I should tell you that that Darlene just sent a note. Darlene in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Subject line, yeah. If MLK had shot back, would the maggots have considered him the good man with a gun? Answer, prob's not. I like that. Prob's not.
That's why I laughed. I mean, thank goodness that you spent enough time at least trying to move forward in talking about, you know, what really got him killed was what is Reverend Barber doing now? That's what really got him killed, is like the Poor People's March, poor, you know, getting everyone together. Like, look, this is systemic.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're dealing with now. See, come on, the hillbillies who you are. It's about, see, it's all mixed up now. It's class and ethnicity.
Right, and if you get that broad spectrum coalition together, that gets real scary and real dangerous, or perceived to be dangerous, by the money real quick.
And well, it appears that way. The people who do that, they don't, you know, they have to protect themselves, take money from somewhere, like Sherry Hunkala. I think you met her when you were at the Netroots property. She's been doing Kensington welfare rights.
Yeah.
For years. Yeah. I mean, she started that when I was still there, you know. So, it's a hell of a thing. It's a hell of a thing. So, I don't know. Let me ask your opinion. Now, how many people do you really think understand about that last, it's not even a quarter, I would say the last eighth of Dr. King's mission? From what we're talking about.
No. I mean, they don't know about his time in Chicago, over tenants' rights. They don't know. Hell, they probably don't even know why he was in Memphis in the first place when he got shot.
Mm-hmm.
That was a strike by the sanitation workers. That was a labor action. And the last thing in the world that the Republican Party went, you know, we can't have it, people out there reinvigorating the labor movement. God.
See? It got him killed. And then of course Bobby Kennedy gets killed right after that. I can't even imagine living. Well, I was alive, but I wasn't, you know, I couldn't do anything about it. But you know, so I don't know where we are, because when you listen to Washington Journal, apparently people have forgotten, or they're just mesmerized. I don't know what's going on. And I like what you said. We had to be ready, because you know, Mitch has top dollar parliamentarians behind him. He can they can make any rules they want. That's the bottom line.
And one of the funniest things about all of that is that, my God, the legal the announced legal team for Nitwit Nero. Jesus, that bunch couldn't fight a fucking traffic ticket, but they will be hailed as Solons and the second coming of Clarence Darrow. Because whatever it is that whatever cockamamie bullshit they put forward. And today they put forward some cockamamie bullshit. They've argued that the impeachment is illegal. And they you know, a lawyer signed it, and you know, straight face and everything. And they're going to, like I said, they're going to be hailed as some sort of noble pleaders, because it's all going to be done along party line votes. And we know how that's going to play out, because Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Bishop Willard Romney, and you know, anybody else that the for-profit media are touting as moderate Republicans, will just do what they're goddamn told. I mean, I so actively hope I'm wrong about this, but I don't think I am.
We are living through one of the most exciting times in American history. Not in a good way. Well, maybe in a good way, depending on who you are, how you perceive it. But either way, this is, tomorrow is the beginning. Well, it wasn't the beginning, but it is the real beginning of what we see, of what we're made of.
Oh yeah, and I'm gonna get up. I'll be up early in the morning, and you know, I'll make my morning cup of pour over decaf and just sort of sit there clutching it in my trembling little hands, just waiting to watch a majority group of white or almost entirely white senators, mostly male, who represent a significant minority of Americans, fuck the country, fuck the Constitution, and fuck the future.
Before we mention Nunez, can I talk about the bloom for a minute?
But let me note something, because I got a note from Ron in Raleigh. We got to stop saying the tilde over his N. He doesn't. It's Nunez. So
is he saying that because the man says he's Portuguese? Ron, is that why you're saying that?
Well, I mean, there's just no tilde there.
Well, I bet. All right, that's self-reported data. Okay, fine.
Wait a minute. That's your second one. That's self-reported data. That ain't worth a fuck.
Look, man, that's what I do, man. I'm sorry. I have to have corroboration. Come on. Don't make me fucking answer. I will do that. I will fucking dig his shit up. I can do it. But I'm saying, you know, fine. Well, I'll get beyond that. Fine. Okay, fine. He wants to be Portuguese and not have the, you know, the proper whatever. But how many Nunes? I mean, you know what? Never mind. Maybe, you know what? I'm totally wrong. Whatever. I'm going to give that man the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't want to be called Nunez, but he's still a motherfucking disgusting liar. And that was the whole point of me bringing him up. And now it's come out. And with his little close-set criminal eyes, it's just worse for him. You know, I mean, I'm about to read the bumps on his head. You know, shit, they need to call a phrenologist then.
All right. See, now there's another one of those. How many? Just any, if anybody wants to guess. How many radio shows in the United States today have involved a passing reference to phrenology? One, damn it, one. And what? Read the, you know, and you waited to say phrenology to see if anybody would, you know, you can't know. There's no, you know, there's no live audience or anything, but you know there were giggles out there when you said, read the bumps on his head.
You think? I'm serious. Oh, no, man.
I know you are, and it's as good a strategy as any, I suppose.
Well, I mean, it's that type of, come on, you have that type of audience. Now, come on. This is why we're here.
Right, that's what makes
it. By the way, now that we're on this track.
Yes.
I mean, this is about pumping you up. You are a badass MF. Let me tell you. Now, look, you must be doing, I hope you don't hear. I still had the radio on. I hope you don't hear it in the other room.
No, you're good.
You hear it? All right. I know I said no, but whatever. I can't make that anyway. So. You were doing what you supposed what you needed to do and what you were supposed to be doing, and what was, you know, great for a week, and because you're so good at what you do, do you see what happened? You didn't have no $1,898 hole.
No, that's true, and I need to mention something now, because a very dear friend of the program, who prefers to remain anonymous, made sure that we didn't have a $1,000 hole coming back. And that was huge. I would have been freaked right the out otherwise.
As well you should have. Yeah. But, I mean, come on. You have the work that you do. The work that you do. I mean, damn, man. I mean, you're very, very good at what you do.
You have no idea. You have no idea the amount of messages and notes I got toward the end of last week. Well, actually, it was all through the week. The way news was breaking, going, dude, you can't go away from the mic. Shit happens when you leave.
Do you see what happened? That was the biggest motherfucking week. That last week, yo, that was the biggest week politically we've had in how long? A year?
It was the historic, you know, the Lev Parnas stuff was the historic equivalent of dude looking up at the Nixon hearings and go, oh yeah, he keeps tapes. There's tapes.
Man,
and the entire Congress of the United States in 1974 going, what?
See, we remember. I mean, look, we're the same age. You know, I was an only child. Really, one TV. I remember that. I remember seeing the count every Sunday night of the Vietnam War, how many people got killed. But I remember that. Absolutely. That was like when that changed, when the drip, when it was like, oh, you know, and everybody started.
You mean when the dam broke?
The dam broke. Because up till then, Nixon was like, oh, no. And everybody loved, you know, his all the Archie Bunkers were like, no, leave him alone. Leave him alone. You see, leave them alone. You know, they were tired of the hippies. They were tired of this, tired of that. It was too much. And like Trump, maybe, he's done. What did he do that was okay? There must be something that he's done. Okay, the prison reform thing. All right, fine. No, I'm willing to give people credit where credit is due. Because unlike the other side, you know, we're fair. So, but beyond that,
and there's also, I mean, you know, since where maggots are, concerned, we're also sane. They're not.
Oh, were there?
Oh, and by the way, you have been answered by Ron and Raleigh. Subject line: I do not self-report. And sends me a link to a New York Daily News article. Pronounce Devin Nunes's correct name correctly, and signs off saying "Happy New Year, brother Todd."
Man,
I do not. All right,
see, I feel bad now. I'm gonna have to say his name properly now. I mean, the way he wants his name to be said, but he's such a disgusting individual. But I will do that.
You know, you could just look here. Look, I'm all about solving problems on this program. And so why don't we just agree not to call him Nunez, and just call him that, and everybody will know when we refer to him, just call him that beady-eyed little motherfucker.
I like that.
Or that beady-eyed little fucker from the Central Valley of California. Or since it's got an since it's got an alliterative quality, we could call him that beady-eyed little fucker from Fresno.
Man. His eyes just give him away, man. I mean, you can't possibly, you cannot be fully functioning and a fully actualized human being with eyes that close. It's just, it's unattainable.
It is rodentish.
All he needs is the whiskers and a little longer nose. Oh my God!
Yeah, is it rodentish or rodentian?
I don't know. That's a toss up.
But I think we've at least found a compromise solution that works for everybody. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Correction coming in from Steve in New York. It's actually the old English way. Cockknocker. And the subject line on that is Nunez pronunciation. It's actually the old English way. Cockknocker. Wait a minute. cowbell for Steve.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory. Oh, God. Yeah, so he's behind, you know, but what, you know what? The thing that frightens me, though, about this situation now is that, yes, the dam is broken. And now, oh, everybody's like talking about Barr now. Everybody's talking about, I mean, it's just like the whole thing is rotten, like we always knew it was, but it's just so, the rot is so deep. It's like it's bigger than a root canal. It's like, you know, you have PMJ.
Jesus, it's bigger than a root canal.
We're going to have to go excavate and find a skull that will fit your jaw. No, it's fucked up shit, man. But thank God for 3D printers. All right.
Well, and you know, you started something, damn you.
damn you.
Lee in New York, Devin's new name. How about Mitch's little press snitch? Scott in San Diego offering up Devin Nooney Tunes. Oh, all you fuckers are getting sued. Do you know that? Devin Nooney is going to sue your ass, Tildy or no Tildy.
But I will submit this as evidence.
Oh wait. Okay. Since we were talking about rodents and stuff,
yeah.
I found a fascinating piece of trivia. Because I've been down for 6 weeks. I've been down the history rabbit hole doing my research on Henry and the Plantagenets and their origins. Well, there's a line in the play where Eleanor says, "We could populate a country town with country girls who've borne you bastards."
Mm.
And he did. He had a lot of bastard sons, and one of them was William something. And he remained loyal to John when the barons were revolting. And popular legend had always said that he died, this bastard son of Henry II, he died of being poisoned. It's not like it didn't happen back then.
That was a big deal.
And so a few years back, they opened his tomb, and this is really gross. I'm so fucking over dinner for a couple of time zones with this one. When they opened his tomb, they found the desiccated, preserved carcass of a rat in his skull. So naturally, because science, they tested the rat. And the rat,
ew.
The rat had traces of arsenic in it.
Oh!
That it got by gnawing on dude's noggin. So he probably was poisoned.
Well, let me ask you this. When, because you had, when, you know, you're into old English literature, you know, old. So apparently the teacher I had in junior high was real, I didn't know at the time, but she was just amazing. Like, she only did it because she wanted to. And she made a big deal about talking about poisoning in that era and how, you know, how big it was. Like, they really had it down with the arsenic, like a little, because it builds up, you know, it's got a, like a half-life thing, whatever.
Yeah.
It builds up in your body. So did you learn that when you were studying that type of literature?
More like when I read the play Arsenic and Old Lace, which, mm-hmm. by the way, is hilarious. And we have been corrected once again by the ad hoc research department of the Horn Family Community Congregation, Stephen, New York. Alliteration concerns words with the same vowel sounds. Consonance concerns words with the same consonant sounds. Please make a note of it. So I will, but I'll probably make the mistake again.
Well, I have a question then. All right, so a common phrase is alliteration. So what is the contrast to that? consternation?
I don't know. I've got homework after the program now.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that a legitimate question?
I always thought alliteration. I always thought alliteration was, you know, like Fresno fuckwit. Two F's.
Right. A riff on something.
I mean, that's why nitwit Nero, tangerine Tiberius, chlamydia Claudius, because
alliteration.
I thought it was, but apparently, it's consonants. I don't know. I got to look it up.
Excuse me, Mr. Show presenter. This is, I would think this might be number two. I'm not your engineer or nothing. I'm just saying. This is like number two for tonight.
I know.
How many shows talk? I mean, good grief. All right. Oh, my God. So.
We few, we happy right. few. See, I'm all Shakespeared up, too.
You, that's what I was going to ask you. Who struck the set? They're always fun people, the people who strike the set.
Oh, we all did. Everybody stayed for strike.
Oh.
I got to use a power tool. And did not hurt myself.
They let you use the power tool.
Yeah, because we had to take all the flats down that had been the walls of the castle.
Mm. Well, that's fun.
No, I miss them already. I woke up. You know, the clock was moving on, and I'm like, don't I have somewhere to be? Because. Rehearsal would be starting in about 8 minutes.
See, you're going to have emotional withdrawals for.
Oh no, I was a mess last night. I was just lost and bereft, and fortunately, a couple of members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who know that sensation kind of got me through it, and Agnes talked me out of the tree, and but. And you know, this isn't, oh, art, you know, it's none of that bullshit. But when you do something like that, you draw on energy inside you. And you have to be so goddamn focused for so long. I mean, just a minute. It's an intense as hell play.
Mm-hmm.
And the word play is, I mean, And I think out of a 2 hour play, I wasn't on stage for about maybe at most 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was about 88 pages. Call it 65 pages of dialogue to memorize.
Yeah, but the timing has to be right.
Oh yeah, and that's what you work on. And we were working bits all the way up to the very end, and the next to last show. There's a scene where Henry has. Agreed that and if you've seen the movie, you know the scene where Henry has agreed with Eleanor that they will hold the wedding right then and there, and Richard and Elise will get married. And after I'd sat down on my throne, and after Elise had sort of curled up over next to me as her, you know, protector and boyfriend, he was my boyfriend. I thought for a bit, and so I reached out, and this is, you know, this is just so cool when it happens this way. I just had an idea, and it had never been rehearsed, and I just reached out and put my hand on her shoulder because I could read her face, and she was way deep into it, and she was fucking pissed at being in character at being used the way she was being used. And so I just reached out my right hand and put it on her shoulder, and she immediately just and pulled that shoulder away. I mean, any guy who's ever had an argument with his girlfriend, guy, girl, doesn't matter.
Right.
But you don't touch me. And we came off stage and looked at each other, and I said, that worked. And she said, yes. And so,
see?
And so I did it again yesterday, and it was perfect. It was perfect. Just this perfect, teeny tiny little second and a half piece of business. But all those little pieces of business come together. And I got
to, that shit is exciting.
And I got I got to
instead of verbal improv, that's physical improv.
Yeah, and I got to play I got to play drunk on stage. That was a blast. And he has to run off stage because he's about to puke at the end. So we set it up all through it with him drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. Wine, brandy wine, you know, whatever.
Were you fake drinking?
Oh yeah. The brandy wine was decaffeinated tea, and the mulled wine was just...
But you were still consuming the liquid.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
But when I came on drunk for the one scene, I started realizing several weeks ago, I realized, you know, I had to set it up so that I wouldn't just like be spontaneously appearing to, you know, blow chunks. The hair went dinner in the, so I started working a bit, you know, swallow a little bit of air so I could, you know, and then, and the occasional hiccup and stuff. And so by the time the, oh my God, I'm going to be sick line comes around, everybody was all set up to understand that Henry's stomach was not so good because he's been drinking for nearly 24 hours on between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And it was a blast. It was an absolute delight. And just so fun to work on all of that stuff. And then lights go out, strike the set, it's done. And you're still left with all that stuff. And like I said, I'm gonna be a while getting Henry out of my system.
You know, maybe where you are needs a theater company. Who knows?
Well, there's a little theater group in Fayetteville. They just don't do much.
Mm-hmm.
But it had been a while since I did anything, and apparently I can still do it. That was nice.
Well, we have a new venue coming up around here. One of my friends and it's going to help with folks who are dealing with abuse and things like that. So they can do, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a class school or anything like that, but you know, it still gets the emotions out and, you know, that's a great thing. I'm just, everyone's happy for you. And we know, man, you can tell that anyone who's ever been on stage, it's just a big deal. That's a big deal, especially when it clicks. Like, just describe.
Oh, wow. It's better than, yeah, it's whatever drug you can mention, or the finest, potables, it's better than any of that.
That's energy, man.
Yeah.
That is energy. That's, and you know, you can't describe, it is it. Yeah. So, I don't know what else to say. This whole, wow. We have to, I don't know what we have to do except to watch what these folks do and see how they cheat and steal. And I just, I'm talking about Parnass and all that other stuff now. And I know you want to take a call and I need to get off the phone, but this Parnass thing, I mean, he just seems so credible.
Because he is so creepy. I mean, because of course the standard answer is, well, you know, because I haven't done my Trump. I've done a week of doing my Henry voice, and I haven't done my stupid Trump voice during the whole program yet. And when the Parnass stuff comes in, well, you know, I take a lot of pictures with everybody. I hardly know him. I don't know him at all. I wouldn't even. And then lo and behold, I see a photograph of, you know, from like 15 years ago or more. And son of a gun, there's Lev Parnass kind of photo back before photobombing was a thing. There's Lev Parnass photobombing a picture from a birthday party for their for one of Trump's little spawn back when they were, you know, just little, you know, little shit birds, kids.
No shit.
Yeah. Because Lev Parnas began his association with that filthy family when he started working for Fred. He hustled hustled real estate for Fred Trump.
What?
Yeah.
No, it can't be. That's too easy. Come on. Come on.
I'm not kidding. I mean, I don't think it was Photoshop.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Before we get off on those tangents about the... Not tangents, but, man, everyone, including myself, that was a great trip. And I know that was a real trip. Trip like three different ways. Geographically, spiritually, a bunch of different ways. But before we got off on that, that's what I wanted to talk about, the deepness. This is a little bit really fucking deep now. And when I say that, what I'm saying is that we have to think about our Supreme Court. We have to think about, you know, just
old balls and strikes?
Now. Robert wants, pardon me?
You mean old balls and strikes?
Yes. Listen, this is what I'm concerned about. See, I don't even know if that's the right word. I have to develop a new lexicon for this, new vocabulary. I remember he was unable to fulfill his duties for that Negro, and they had to do it in private to get it right because he was just so shocked. So okay, fine, move beyond that. It wasn't that long ago. So now we have this whole injustice against our whole nation, basically, a whole body politic, just who we are, really. And it looks so deep. Remember when we used to talk about this? Like, how deep is this? How deep in Congress does this go? These people are going to, you know, we had senators going to Russia on the 4th of July. Why? What the fuck? Why aren't you home drinking beer and eating ribs like normal people? Or if you don't eat ribs, eat some hummus, whatever. What the fuck? You know, but...
Yeah, because vegan Republican senators are a thing.
That's a fucking cowboy.
If you insist.
They're not eating... It is, because you know they're not eating no hummus. I'm sorry. All right. So, yeah, that's funny as shit. Yeah, so why? You know, how is he, where is his head at? How does he want to go down in history? He's going to have to make some big decisions.
He's a Republican. He doesn't give shit about history. Okay, I mean, I think we kind of got to get, we got to get that through our skulls.
Wait a minute. All right. That's the easy way. He's just going to do what you expect him to do, and then whatever. But that looks awful. Do you know how that looks?
Oh, do you know? Do you realize how thoroughly he will be discredited and disgraced when every ruling that he makes the Republicans don't like? That they will vote him, they will overrule him. He's going to look like just a pathetic patsy. And so that's probably why they're trying to set it up so that they don't have to do it. You know, I had a note from Lady B a minute ago asking me to kind of take a run at this business of McConnell's plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, McConnell lays out rules for Trump's Senate trial, allowing for a vote on witnesses'
documents.
Well, yeah,
that's what we're talking about, basically.
Yeah, right. And Lady B said, fill us in on what's up with this. Well, what they've got to do, the main part of that is that they're going to get, you know, 12 hours per side for arguments, 4 hours of debate, or 16 hours of questioning, but not of the witnesses. And then 4 hours of debate and a vote on witnesses.
And it's all, and like I said earlier, it's all a damn fig leaf. It, the whole thing is a fraud. It is a cover up. Because none of this shit is even remotely necessary if you're trying to conduct a fair trial. I mean, now Moscow Mitch is reported to be working on a means by which we will never see John Bolton testify in the Senate.
How is that?
Let's see. What's the story from the Washington Post say? While Republicans continue to express confidence that Democrats will fail to persuade four GOP lawmakers to break ranks with Senate Majority Leader McConnell, who has opposed calling any witnesses in the trial, they're readying a plan B just in case. One option being discussed, according to a senior administration official, would be to move Bolton's testimony into a classified setting because of national security concerns, ensuring that it is not public. To receive the testimony in a classified session, Trump's attorneys would have to request such a step, according to one official, adding it would probably need 51 senators to pass. And then Trump says he'll go to court to stop Bolton from testifying again under executive privilege and national security. Which begs the question, mm-hmm. What do you do about national security when the national security threat is the president of the United States?
Well, that's exactly the question I was going to raise, because it appears that at every turn, the fact that we have this administration, not just the president, but the people he has around him, the people he has appointed, and the decisions they've made have made everything so complicated where we can't follow normal procedure. It just doesn't fit. Because first of all, this bullshit about, well, we're not going to respond to any subpoenas, blanket. Now, I don't even see how that's debatable. I've never been in law school, ever, but I like logic, and I endear logic, because logic is a universal language. And that makes no fucking sense. So if that's the posture that you choose to use, then you have to endure the repercussions.
One would think, yes.
Now, so what do they expect? In other words, at every turn, this has been, and I hate this shit, this projection shit, this actually has been a coup.
Yeah, and there's, I'm not trying to engage in hyperbole here, Todd, but there is a reason to feel like this country is done if McConnell and Trump get away with this.
Well, there is. There is. When people say Congress is broken now, it's really not Congress. It's Mitch McConnell. There are bipartisan bills on his desk.
And the Senate, the House isn't broken. Senate is. I mean, we've reached a point where, I know why the framers designed the House and Senate the way they did. They were pretty clear about it. But that was a very different time. And it was manageable. You cannot effectively make tens of millions of Americans non-entities by operation of the rules of the Senate. It can't go on. It can't last.
No, it can't.
Because
it can't.
You know, because when two senators who represent maybe 3 million people can control a body where two other senators represent 20 million people, the level of inequity just it rises to unsustainable proportions.
and it just gets worse. And this is why we're in a chronic state of constitutional crisis. It started off acute, right, and now it's chronic. And because all these choices are messed up, like we shouldn't have to be making these choices. We should not be put in this position at all, period. But we are, and now we have to figure this out without being disrespectful of each other and without being violent. But nevertheless, we are in fact, a constitutional crisis. And the fact that we have too many people, a significant amount of people who don't even understand the fact that we are in this crisis, because I can foresee where, well, you know what, they're going to make us impeach him again. Because this is new information.
I think there's reason to think that will happen.
I can see. I don't see how it cannot happen. The way this stuff is coming out now, you see, the pus is coming out. You know, we have a search warrant for, you know, a pus substance A, right? And now we got B, C, D, E, F, all the way down the alphabet. They're coming down the road. But, you know, we just have the search warrant for A and B.
Right.
But we see the rest of the alphabet coming down the road.
Well, I mean, how
do... I don't know.
Once they listen, you know, if there's anything, and there kind of has to be, of note in the Parnas recordings, how does the House take that and do nothing? How do you not... crafted and what I said months ago, Todd, when these cases come final that are making their way through up to, you know, through the Supreme Court process, when these things come final, how in the hell do you not act on those? Because once you've got judicial finality, you know, the Supreme Court is the final word. And once the final word is that he violated the out of the law all over the place, even, you know, just in ignoring the subpoenas, how do you not impeach?
See, that's a wonderful question, scenario that you have presented, because either way, this is going to shape the country. This, what's happening now, is going to shape the country. That's what you mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, good or bad?
It's a duty thing. You've got to make it possible for the American people to understand A, the grave threat that the Constitution faces, and that there are things that are intolerable even by a president. I mean, Jesus Christ, did you see? So he put out an MLK Day tweet today.
I didn't see it.
Get your hockey puck. It was exactly 3 years ago today, January 20th, 2017, that I was sworn into office. So appropriate that today is also MLK Jr. Day. African-American unemployment is the lowest in the history of our country by far. Also, best poverty, youth, and employment numbers ever. Great.
What's the real tweet, Pop?
That's the real tweet.
No, I'm serious. Like, we joke around.
No, I'm not fucking with you.
He started off saying he's been in office for 3 years.
Yes. He marked MLK Day by praising himself for being in office for 3 years, because it's January 20th and we inaugurate presidents on the 20th of January.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Jesus Christ. Wow.
He equated himself to a man who gave his life for civil rights and civil liberties. And I'm just going to say this. Don't hope nobody be hating on me for this. But the idea of the son of a Klansman touting lowest African-American unemployment Well, I'm only surprised he didn't say lowest African American unemployment since 1865.
I freed you. Right, exactly.
Because, you know, back in what Fred Trump would have considered the good old days, and Donald Trump considers the good old days, you know what African American unemployment was before 1865? Zero.
Well,
I mean, you think about it, it's true.
I'm just saying this. This entity has the ability to win again. And that's what I'm concerned about. They're packing the courts, and nothing's changed about the Electoral College. The Senate keeps voting down extra funding and extra protections for our elections because they're fine with the status quo way things are going down because Russia told them, you know, whatever, they got paid. They got paid off. They got paid off.
Yeah.
And anyone who's following this, I'm not like I'm some tinfoil hat type person. You know, I'm sorry, but I used to get paid to follow this shit, and now I got addicted to it. So now I can't, you know, it's just a hobby. Now, you said people look, go back. Why do you think they infiltrated the NRA? Who is in the NRA? Just ask yourself a very simple question. Who's in the NRA? Evangelical, right wing, Christian folk.
Right. And so who did Russia infiltrate? The NRA and the National Prayer Breakfast.
But that's easy picking.
Man, that was just hanging up above the rim and you just put it in. I mean, that's just a tap. Oh, by the way, I have to, going back a little bit, Steve in New York awarded you a gay gong for bigger than a root canal. And Ralph says, I'm very concerned that the right-wing Supreme Court judges will just say, fuck it, let's just give Donnie what he wants and rule in Trump's favor on these various court cases. There's a distinct possibility that they can because, and this is twisted reasoning.
Who said that? Wait, who said that?
That was Ralph's. She's worried about the Supreme Court just rubber stamping it. And the question is, how would they do it?
Because they can.
Well, yeah, but they have to.
Oh, they have to give rationale. They have to.
Yeah, they have to. They have to come up with an excuse, and for that we need to go back to the year 2000. If you go and you read Bush v. Gore, you will find therein a statement by the Supreme Court that this case is not precedent, and this case is never to be used or cited or referred to in support of any other legal argument or words to that effect. And so they can craft opinions if they want to. If old Balls and Strikes just doesn't give, just fuck it, then he'll have the votes from Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, and Sammy shoot him in the back of the head, Alito, and Ann's boy Neil, and Brat Kavanaugh. He'll have the votes to craft an opinion that says this is not legal precedent for anything and should never be cited as such. But we're just going to let Trump win.
I'm glad that she brought that up.
I really, really want to be wrong about that.
Well, this is the thing. Right, and I'm glad Ralph's brought that up, Ralph, because, you know me, I'm tangent man. There's so much shit going on around my brain, I can't. It's hard. But, you see, this is my worry, is that this thing is too big. Like I'm saying, it's too deep. It's too deep. Roberts is like, oh, my God, he's going to look at all the information, all the data, all the evidence, and go, oh, fuck. If I rule against Trump, all this is going to come out. Oh, no, fuck that.
You know, it's easier just to stay with the status quo.
Well, and remember, they want to protect the court, too. And whose son was doing the funny business?
Kennedy.
Bingo.
See, people forgot about that.
And Kennedy getting the dime dropped on his son through this process, it could be very damaging to the Supreme Court, a Supreme Court that's already damaged all to fuck. I mean, remember, William Rehnquist was an opioid pill head before opioid pill heads became a thing. He was trashed out of his mind for the last 10 years of his tenure on the court at the very least.
So that's another reason just to keep sweeping along, move along, nothing to see.
Yep.
I hate to be so colloquial, but, man, I don't have to work tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to have this shit out. Wait, it's going to come on to 1 o'clock, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Pedro.
Oh, I didn't tell you. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Did you see the paper today? Seriously.
No.
Pedro was admitted to substance abuse counseling. He's in an inpatient treatment facility. They found half a gallon of liquor right next to the desk. It was visible.
You know, this is my turn to say, you're not fucking with me?
No, I'm fucking with you.
Okay. Because, see, I believe it. I couldn't do what Pedro does. I mean, and it'd probably be a lot worse than booze.
I wouldn't doubt it. One day he's going to be in there with the big straw.
I'd be crushing up Xanaxes and rubbing them on my cheeks and gums. Just to get through the morning with the people he has to listen to.
Well, I want to say hi to one, Tracy, and, you know, everybody, and, Prose Laureate. We all know who the Prose Laureate is. And Stephen George Stan, because that's my support system on C-SPAN, man. Washington Journal, because it's frightening. We take the bullet for you people, you know. And I'm just talking about the pinks. I mean, everybody.
I get your point.
All right.
Hey, I got it. You know, there are things we have to talk about when you call.
Oh, food?
Yep. Because I'm in a place that has a Popeyes, and because because Tracy recommended it so seriously, with such joie de vivre, I tried the Popeyes chicken sandwich.
Verdict.
It is everything anyone is saying that it is.
Damn! Is it tender and tasty?
Dude, I think they're marinating the chicken breasts in, like, buttermilk and pickle juice.
No shit.
Oh.
What kind of roll is it on?
It's just on a bun.
It's that good. It's just a bun. It doesn't matter.
Don't care. You know, doesn't add to or detract from. It's just a handful of awesomeness.
Well, see, now this is coming from a foodie, so I understand now what people are waiting in. Like,
and the plain, like, you know, the original, what they call the original, is okay, but if you love life, get the spicy.
Oh, you got to. Come on. Popeyes is special.
And it's in the breading, and it's in the chicken, and it's in the sauce. It's all spicy all over. Yes.
There's a Popeyes in Progress Plaza, which was the first black-owned inner-city shopping mall in the United States of America. And that's at Broad and Oxford, North Philly, right at Temple Campus. And there's a bank there, a black bank, and a Popeyes. And I mean that Popeyes, man. Sometimes just that dirty rice. The chicken. But yeah, people have been getting crazy over this chicken. Oh, and don't forget about the fried okra. Now, fried okra.
Oh, no, I get worked.
Well, let me say this real quick. real quick. Now, acquire the best green beans you can get, the yes. French green beans, the good ones, some okra. Put them in a nice pan, stainless steel preferably, because of what you're going to do with it. Or you can use cast iron if you want. But, all right, steam them quickly. Get them done, just steam them. You know, blanch, steam, a little bit of water. Then you already had the jasmine rice cooked. You already have the pot of that. That's done. Put that on the plate. Put the vegetables on top of the rice. Put a nice little amount of Hoisin sauce on it.
That could be tasty. Yeah.
It's simple.
I found a little Chinese place down here that does just wonderful. Because I love the dish in the first place, but this is the best I've ever had. Singapore rice noodle.
Mm.
You know, with the curry.
Describe the flavor.
Well, it's got the curry powder, and it's got little tiny pieces of roasted pork and chicken, really tender chicken in it, and sometimes shrimp. But it's just noodle bowl with a lot of curry.
Yeah.
And man, and it's those little itty bitty teeny tiny thin rice noodles.
Oh.
Yeah, heavenly.
That's the good stuff.
And I'm pretty sure when I get back home, I will not be able to get that at OK Chinese.
Okay. They're going to change their name soon.
Hmm. Marginally acceptable Chinese.
That's it. That's the best name.
But well, no, that Popeye's chicken sandwich is, and here's what the young woman in the cast, we were talking in the dressing room, everybody you know, just back, and she said, well, I had, because our director was eating a Popeye's chicken sandwich, and she said, I haven't had one of those yet. I always go to Chick-fil-A, and I said, well, let me just tell you, don't ever, ever get a Popeye's chicken sandwich. Because if you do, you'll never go back to Chick-fil-A. Ever.
Mm.
They're
totally different, though.
Yeah, they are, but they just totally owned it.
Well, because they're the two best, and I don't like their politics. And I'm telling you, they just built a new Chick-fil-A here. And when they built this MF, they built it with two. These mugs did serious survey research. They built it with two drive-thrus. Do you know this place is? It's like a damn traffic jam every day at lunch. Just all day, every day. Then if they were open on Sunday, they need to like stop to clean up probably. You know, Chick-fil-A has a great product.
Oh, The drive-through at the Chick-fil-A out at the mall here is around the block for as long as they're open.
See, what the fuck? What are they putting in this food? Is it comeback? What are they putting in?
No. It's where Chick-fil-A is concerned. What makes the magic for them? And this is the simple, filthy little secret: is confectioner's sugar in the breading mix. It's candied chicken.
Isn't that something?
And then, you know, and the Chick-fil-A sandwich is just bullshit anyway, because it's a piece of fried chicken breast on a bun with two ribby ass slices of pickle on top of it. I've never been impressed.
See, this is how we do it. This is how I do it. And this is what keeps, you know, people knocking on that door, right? You get the cast iron grill pan with the raised edges.
Oh yeah.
You know, to get the marks on it.
Got one.
But the first thing you got to do is start with good quality chicken. I get this stuff that, you know, minimally processed. It costs a little bit more, but it's not big and all inflated, and it tastes better. But you pound it out like you're making a schnitzel. It has to be thin. Not too thin, but, you know, break up the muscle tissue. All right. And then take the fork thoroughly. Poke the fork both sides, okay? Then you season one side moderately heavy, and don't season the other side, or very lightly. Put it on that grill.
the grope in. You know, if you're inside, outside is a different thing.
Yeah, but I mean that's a naked chicken sandwich, right? We're talking about the breading.
Well, the bread. Listen, the bread. That's what some people like grilled. Now you're going to have families. Some people want the grilled. Some want the breaded. Now the breaded is easy. That's mayonnaise, Italian, and Planco mixed together with complete saison, right? Drop that in the oil, bring it out, boom. That's it. That's easy. And it's perfect. Oh, my God. It's perfect. Well, I don't want to use that word anymore. Ugh, disgusting. I can't.
It was perfect. It was a perfect chicken sandwich. The Democrats don't like it. It was perfect. The chicken sandwich was perfect.
You see that? This. Oh, my God. It's an earworm. Stop. Nope. Well, you know, and you know me, and I'm an advocate for a full ensemble of cast iron cookware. However, it's nice to have a stainless steel, like a wide, it almost looks like a frying pan, but it's not, but it's wide stainless steel for steaming vegetables, and then a stainless steel or enamel stock pot for making your soups. Because you don't want some of that oil to get into your product. But beyond that, you know, cast iron all the way.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, by the way, you got a note from Darlene in Connecticut.
Hi, Darlene.
Thanks, Todd, for mentioning chicken piccata several shows ago. You inspired me to try it out, and I'm having fun to great reviews from friends. Does Todd prefer onions or garlic as the main theme? Just curious.
Garlic.
I was willing to bet.
Garlic.
Yep.
I mean, you know what? Honestly, if you're going to make any decent food, you can't make decent food without onions and garlic. People say they don't. I don't like garlic. Guess what? You put just enough in it, and they don't taste it. Or you know, but I mean, come on. If you want to eat good food, that's just the way it is. It's good for your blood.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, man.
All right, man. Awesome conversation.
Yeah, yes, always. And everybody's glad you're safe, man, and you struck the set. And wow, you're just fully loaded now. I know it.
Oh, wait a minute. We're getting pushback here.
Oh, shit.
You've done it again. From Brother Deacon Asa. As an objective Brother Deacon and a bona fide foodie, I'm going to have to push back a little bit. As someone who has access to Popeyes and has eaten at Chick-fil-A all over their country, I disagree with your notion that Chick-fil-A is inferior. And yes, I hate their guts for their filthy politics, too. Sorry, but no. There are two fast food places that if I ever eat at them, I just feel physically terrible. Not morally terrible, but that goes with Chick-fil-A, too. Chick-fil-A and Arby's. Without fail, two places just sicken my gut. And the Popeyes didn't. But well, I'm sorry.
You know
I'm sorry, Brother Deacon, but we're just gonna have to be at odds over this one.
Now look, last night we had French onion soup, grilled French onion soup, right? Really good stuff. All right, it was with the toasted bread on the bottom, cheese on the bottom,
ooh,
cheese on the top,
yes,
under the broiler.
The boom. Real thing.
Oh shit. That's it, man. That shit was us. Oh, God, this was so fucking good. And cheesesteaks. Good cheesesteaks. Man. And you know what? I don't know if 49ers might win. I don't know. I mean, it's not slated, but we'll see what happens. But you know what? All we can do is eat good food. I mean, everything else, what the fuck, man? You can't even go out to the park, man. You got to worry about it.
Do they have a gun? Are they going to shoot me? Oh, I want my rights.
We're using our, you know, bitch, I want to eat a cheeseburger in the park. You know, get the fuck away from me. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. You're right.
It's just unacceptable behavior. And we're better than that. And maybe we are, and maybe we're not. And we're going to find out who we really are. I think over the next 2 months, next 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Because
we will know for a fact who we are when we wake up on the morning of November 4th.
Well, that's a statement.
I mean, that's a very legitimate statement. True?
That's, oh, man. I don't know. We'll find out who we're going to be.
Oh, and by the way, Robert in Morgantown sent me something a little bit ago. Via Agence France-Presse, the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad has been targeted with rockets. They landed in the embassy area in Baghdad. The sirens are on. No reports on casualties. And this comes as Nitwit Nero is supposed to meet the Iraqi president in Davos.
This is live time?
Yep.
Well, hopefully we'll have another election.
Hopefully.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I'll have more food for you next time.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Okay.
Not to worry. You really got me with the Pedro thing. I mean, I could just believe it.
I've been having this vision. I'm telling you, I don't know what happened. I was like, man, I just saw it. Like, cause usually I don't watch, but I saw it. I was like, man, you've had enough of this. You got people calling you, and all right, this really gets me though. I think really the germ of this whole statement that I made is the fact that there are too many people, a stat significant amount of people, calling in to that program. Washington Journal, and swearing that they're leaning left. And it's like, it doesn't occur to them that, well, maybe the facts just don't agree with your belief system. You know, I'm sorry you're wrong on some things. Maybe you're right on some things, but maybe not. But whatever. But for the most part, you're just wrong and you don't like the facts. It's like, why are you quoting this paper? Why are you quoting that paper? All you do is beat up on Trump. And once again, I have to say, from a social science standpoint, you know, if the leader, particular leader, if Trump and his administration, if they engaged in more positive behaviors, there would be more positive news about them. But once again, they insist on chronically engaging in negative and antisocial behaviors. So if you're reporting the news, you're reporting negativity about this administration. But to them, that's not negativity. It's like, yeah, I want to beat up them brown motherfuckers. Yeah,
that poor dude at CNN, and I mean, I'm not trying to poor mouth him. Manu Raju, who is he goes to great lengths to not be a dick.
I don't even have a dick. I'm
no. Now quit that. and he, you know, he asks his questions gently but fairly. And that Martha McSally, who is not elected to the Senate from Arizona, has the nerve to call him a liberal hack. Please, what?
Man, I'm just saying, if I saw that woman on the street, I'd be like, oh, that's a nasty, hateful-looking woman. She looks like she needs to clean her liver out. She's just gray. She's ashen. She looks like some fucking reprobate. What the fuck is wrong with her? I'm just saying, have you not, I saw her up, I mean, at work. You know, with her name in front of her up on the in the dais or whatever.
Oh, I know. And by the way, Ron in Raleigh has weighed in on the chicken sandwich debate. Chicken sandwiches, you say? He says
268 chicken
sandwiches. No, Ron, chicken sandwiches, I'm you say? I myself am a fan of the Hardee's big chicken sandwich. Around here, I've heard on a number of occasions. There's a chain through the South. Maybe you've got them in South Carolina called Jack's.
No, I've seen that in Jacksonville.
The Jack's chicken sandwich is said to be the be-all and end-all as well.
Is that a breaded or grilled?
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. But Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, he says, you're correct. Arby's really, really sucks. And they charge a fortune for all that suckitude.
That's what I don't get. I'm going to tell you something.
That's like everybody who loses their shit over Five Guys.
Five Guys is full of shit. Oh, my.
No. I brought home burgers for like me, Agnes, Margie, and Ferg, and got fries for everybody. And I'm out of there, and it's like, son of a. Because.
How do they not get firebombed? That's what I don't understand. That's all I'm saying. Because there's people out me, and like, I'm not doing it, but I know volatile folks.
The thing is, I got done with
fucking hamburger. And it's slop. It's slop.
I figured out I had just paid the same amount of money for four hamburgers that I could have paid to sit down at Outback.
At a restaurant that they clean, that they sweep the floor.
And of course, I mean, I will miss things from around here. Being able to just go get one of my hot dogs anytime I want one is one of those things. But the other thing is the best hamburger I've ever eaten in my life. At a little place called Stags's Grocery. And they're open from 5:30 in the morning to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Two, that's too cold. No.
And it's just an exquisite hamburger. Just plain, nothing fancy. You know, I mean, you can get bacon, you can get cheese, you know, nothing out there. You know, you can't get truffles on your hamburger or anything like that. It's just plain hamburger, and it's just fantastic.
Bob, that sounds great. And I have to apologize. I'm sorry, but when you and I heard you mention that establishment before. I don't know, like last week or week before. And I was like, yeah, I had to, because I was out with the family, and then this one person they had. It's like if we didn't go to Five Guys, we were not gonna get any pizza. So nobody wanted to go there, but that person. So we go there, and I was just flabbergasted. I was like, wow. The food is terrible. It's greasy. It's nasty. And it costs how much? I'm like, you are really... So you, in other words, you people laugh at us when we leave. They're like, look at those stupid motherfuckers. They just spent $58 here.
Hey, we fleeced another one.
I mean, literally. I'm like, wow. You know what? Give me $100. Now I'll make you three times as much.
We had our cast party on Friday night, and I made deviled eggs my way. I don't like everybody up home makes their deviled eggs. Yeah, everybody up home makes their deviled eggs sweet, and it's like yuck. Yeah, I mean they got it's all about the mustard powder and stuff. And then I made pimento cheese. Oh, and I found, I was out at the Publix, and I found some extra creamy Danish blue cheese. And I worked that into the pimento cheese. Oh, my Jesus.
That's gourmet shit.
Oh, it was good. It was good.
You should call the magazine. That sounds exceptional.
Well, I renamed the deviled eggs Plantagenet eggs because... the contemporaries of that bunch said that the Plantagenets were descended directly from the devil himself. And so deviled eggs, Plantagenet eggs, see what I did there?
Right.
And then there's a line where Richard the Lionhearted is gooning on his dead brother Henry, and he refers to his spoon-edged mind. And refers to his Roquefort smile. So blue cheese, Roquefort. So I referred to it as young Henry's pimento cheese.
Oh, Roquefort. Like people say, are you cheesing?
Yes.
Cheese for the camera.
Yeah.
See, man, where else are you going to hear that? Where else are participants of this nation, in this
I don't know what's going to become.
And our young Prince John was just a wonderful young man, and he was age appropriate. He was, you know, John is said to be 16 in the play. There's a line where Elias says he smells of compost and he has pimples, and Henry replies, "Well, he's just 16. He can't help the pimples," thereby kind of confessing that he does stink. And this young man would painstakingly create makeup pimple effects every night. And
what?
Yeah, he would create.
So they would pop?
He would create. No, not so they'd pop. But just, oh, there went dinner. Yep, dinner's taking a beating tonight. No, he just put on these. I guess you'd call it, he created prosthetic zits all over his face. I mean, really, really, you know, really went the extra mile. And when he jumped out from behind the curtain and yelled "You turd" at his brother Jeffrey, it was hilarious.
Well, I'm sure it brought joy to the area that, you know, people who frequent.
Oh, it was fun. It was really fun.
And you'll keep everybody up to date, but
yeah, and I need to mention that because we are running out of time now. But the question was asked in the chat room as to the timing of the program. I'm just going to stick with I'm going to stick with the 5 to 8 time slot at least until I get home. I kind of like it. But we'll I don't know. We'll have further discussions in the community about whether to go back to 6 to 9. So that's where that is. Darlene says, "I think President Obama put Five Guys on the map with his visit there with Biden in his first few weeks in office." Darlene says, "I've been wanting desperately to try Five Guys, but it sounds like it's a mess." You know, it's just ordinary. And
don't do it.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, there's nothing special about it, and it costs a fortune.
It costs, dude, let me say this. I had, because I rarely eat hamburgers out because I'm just, you know, I'll be honest, I'm fussy. I'm a very good cook, and I'm just like, man, I'm only going out for certain things unless I'm taking someone out or whatever, blah, 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 going out with family. Now, you know, Yellow Place with the rocking chairs.
Yeah, oh, yes.
They have the one near here, they have an excellent burger. Now, that's around close to $10, you know, if you get it right or whatever, but it's worth it.
That's the other thing about the Popeye sandwich. It's the cheapest one out of most. It's like $4.
That's not bad.
No. And
that's not bad.
And you know that hamburger from the little local joint. It's a $4 burger, and it's fresh as can be. And then my little local barbecue joint that I love so much. On Mondays, you can get a barbecue pulled pork pig sandwich and a hot dog for $3.50.
What? Wait, repeat that, please.
Yeah, a full-size barbecue sandwich, you know, piled high with pulled hickory smoked pork and the hot spicy slaw, and one of their hot dogs, $3.50.
How many days a week can you do that?
Every Monday.
From what time to what time?
From Monday opening to Monday close.
Because that you can't make it that cheap.
No. It's like 10, from 10 to 8.
Man. See, we're going to have to talk about it. You know, that this is why there are barbecue shacks. Like, places only open from, you know, Thursday through Saturday.
Yeah, there's a long-standing little fried fish place around here. And you get 3 catfish fillets and a cup of slaw and a baked potato for like $8.
Nice big catfish fillets, right?
Yeah, this ain't nothing ribey about it. and it's all pond raised and sweet, doesn't have that dirt taste to it.
See, that sounds good.
Yeah, because I mean that's the two things I can't get in West Virginia is decent barbecue unless I make it myself. And there are no, I mean, apart from Long John fucking Silver's, there are no fried fish places. And damn sure no catfish places.
I can tell you a fish story. Oh, my God. I was really into the fish then when I was traveling for the job. And I was like, oh, my God, this just gets worse. Even Pittsburgh, there's still good fish. You know, it's fucked up. But,
And Elbert in Rhode Island says he says I used to live near Atlanta. I really miss Zaxby's. Its chicken was great. I haven't had a Popeye's latest chicken.
Oh my God, their chicken is good. I had to
Okay, see, I've got one less than 2 miles from me, and I have not tried it, so that has to happen this week.
Their chicken's tasty. Their chicken's tasty. Yes, it is, and a lot of people like it. They're friendly to the highway patrol, which we all need. But Zaxby's nice and clean. They they change the oil a lot. Yes, it's delicious. But
well, thank you. You helped pull me through the first program back, and I can't thank you enough for that.
Well, Bob, we can't thank you enough for just getting through. You know, doing what you do. You know, you're multitasking. You're doing a great job, and that's all I can say. Ron, I hope you're still listening, man. Love you, brother. You know, I joke around with you all the time, but I love you.
Everybody loves you, Todd. You take care now.
All right. I'll see you later.
All right. Keep Pedro away from that 1.75 liter bottle. You hear? And so, man, we went all over the place, didn't we? It happens. You'll have that. And, we're just a few minutes before the program's done, but we got down to 250 to go to finish, and we kind of parked there. So we will close the program down $250. It'll be the fundraising goal $450 tomorrow. And hopefully we'll maybe some of the overnight crew will knock it down. But, that means we knocked out the all but $50 of what was left over from a week ago last Friday. So thank you very kindly for that. Let's check, here in the waning moments of the program, let's check in with Scott out in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Geez, I thought you had gotten that system worked out so that you could actually call and wait on hold without it ringing in on the air.
The last Friday on the front porch was just a bear because it kept crashing.
Oh. All right, well.
And oddly enough, Skype has not crashed tonight, so I think that may have been part of the problem.
Oh, well, anyway. Well, in the waning moments, I've crossed things off of my topics, so I'm down to maybe one or two quick ones. I didn't know this until just recently, because it only happened just recently, but a Popeyes opened up about two or three blocks from here, and I haven't been to Popeyes for, like, years.
You lucky man.
So now, and it's near the Sonic. That's another place I haven't been. Do they have Sonics where you live, the drive-ins?
Yes. Yeah, well, here they do, not where I am. Sonic in Beckley went out of business years ago.
Oh, well, anyway. So that'll be the extent of my food porn. You were, two things. First of all, my saying when someone I like passes on, I always end it with, and yet Dick Cheney lives.
Right.
Well, here on Martin Luther King Day, the observed date, the Monday holiday birthday, it pisses me off that the walking Bible, Jack Van Impe, lived to a ripe old age of 88 and died the other day. The TV yes. Evangelist.
I was kind of saving him from prayer meeting Wednesday, but that's okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Well, it's worth mentioning, and I didn't look up Martin Luther King's birth date, but I think he was 39 when he was killed in 68. So he and Van Impe would be contemporaries in the sense that they were probably born within a couple of years of each other, because it's been 50 years since Dr. King died, and he was 39, so that's 89, and Van Impe was 88. Here you've got two religious people, so-called, at least in the case of Van Impe. I think of him more of a damn huckster, okay? And you've got one that's been upright.
The world tomorrow.
Huh?
The world tomorrow.
No, no, that's Garner Ted Armstrong.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I forget what Van Impe's show is, but he apparently memorized the Bible. This was his shtick early on. And you couldn't fool him. Like any verse in the Bible, he had committed it to memory from cover to cover. But the point that I'm making, it just pisses me off that, you know, Dr. King has been dead 52 years, and yet Van Impe is only now going on to whatever his reward is. And, you know, I feel bad for Rex Zella, which is the greatest name for a preacher's wife that there's ever been. The only other wife's name that's better in my book is Lurleen, which was Governor Wallace's.
Yep, Lurleen Burns Wallace.
Lurleen? But anyway, so there's that. But the other thing, you were talking about this radio station in Kansas City, and my ears perked up, having spent 10 years in that market doing radio at various places. So I said, well, let me look it up and see which poor one-lung station has been dumb enough to sign on with Sputnik Radio, formerly known as the Voice of Moscow, I think. Well, it's just this little station licensed to a town north of Kansas City called Liberty. How's that for irony? And it's like 6,000 watts daytime and like 9 watts at sunset, you know? So, you know, they're reaching out to a vast audience.
All the way around the block.
Way up 1140, way up near the far end of the dial. And it rang a bell in the back of my head. I grew up in the D.C. area in the 60s listening to Top 40 WEAM 1390 in Arlington. They were licensed to Arlington or Falls Church or somewhere. And back when they couldn't make money on AM anymore, the station changed hands a few times. Well, a couple of years ago, the current owners decided to hook up with Voice of Moscow, now known as Radio Sputnik, full time. Okay. And because they started doing this in 2015, because Radio Sputnik is an official Russian state broadcaster.
Right. That's what I was talking about earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. They had to register as the station had to register as a foreign agent. I hope if you have any listeners in Kansas City that they'll look into raising hell with the commission or whoever.
Oh, we've got a professional hellraiser in Kansas City.
Who is that? Because it's somebody who
Sister Carol Baker.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about Sister Carol. I'm sorry. But they say the mind is the first thing to go.
I always heard it was the legs, but you know.
Well, but anyway.
That's somebody whose mind it was the first thing to go would probably say it was the legs.
It just troubles me that radio stations used to be locally owned and operated in many cases,
mm-hmm.
and they programmed to the community. They didn't pipe a lot of crap in.
Well, that's one of the things I love about radio down here. The number one radio station in the area has the number one. They've got the number one sort of classic hits, pop FM, and the number one country station. And they are locally owned. And in fact, until he passed away a couple of years ago, the locally owned that they were was a fellow by the name of Sam Phillips.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's what I mean.
Because Sam was born here, probably not 4 miles from where I'm sitting.
But he was typical of an old school broadcaster, you know, and that is sorely missing today. By the way, before I go, and I know it's about time to go, are you Are you anywhere near Phoenix City, Alabama?
Oh, no. That's about as far away from here and you can get as you can get and still be in Alabama.
And I can't remember where I saw it, but recently, in the last couple of weeks, I watched a film. I remember what it was. It was a movie on TCM, The Phoenix City Story. And it was a dramatic film done in the style kind of like a documentary. I had never heard about Phoenix City. And I did some research.
Yeah, and it's not spelled Phoenix like in Phoenix, Arizona. They left out the O.
Yeah, it's like P-H...
E-N-I-X.
E-N-I-X, okay. And E-N-I-X-F-M. Secaucus. But the thing
Wait
is,
a minute.
It's like you...
You did that so perfectly, so fucking seamlessly.
Thank you. KW, what is that station in... Los Angeles, KWFM-FM and KWFM-FM-FM, Los Angeles. Time to rock! But anyway, I think it's on... hold on, let me get rid of this frog, Peppy. I got a Peppy in my throat. Hang on. Thank you. Broadcaster's Melody. I need a Ricola drop or something.
Ricola...
Yeah, but
God, I hate
anyway.
Those things.
Ricola. I want to go out and buy funny looking Swiss clothes and get a long horn, you know? Stand up on a mountain somewhere and do that shit with a feather in my hat and lederhosen. Is that the life or is that the life, Bob? Come on.
Man, that's living.
But anyway, if you have a chance to see it, it's probably on Amazon Prime because everything is. I don't think it's free, but it's the Phoenix City story. It was done in the early 50s. And man, I'm telling you, there's a book about it that somebody wrote who's from down that way. And I may buy it just to get the full story of what a corrupt place it was. It reminded me of... You remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life?
Mm-hmm.
And if George Bailey had never been born.
Yeah, Pottersville.
Pottersville. It reminded me of Pottersville, but worse. You know?
Yeah.
And that's saying.
Well, those kinds of towns are sort of sprinkled all over the South. I mean, Bossier City, Louisiana, in its heyday comes to mind.
Yeah.
But
it's just very, very sad that our national government, given the opportunity, can go that way quite easily. When you've got that level of corruption,
that's the thing. You know, we're all in the bowl, and Trump's hand is on the handle.
Yeah,
and we've got to find out if there's anybody patriotic enough to slap it away.
Well, and this is the thing: 1 year from today, literally 1 year from today. Roberts or whoever's in charge of the Supreme Court at that point will swear in the next president of the United States. Now, that to me seems like a gauntlet being thrown down. That seems to me to strike a note of urgency that we have got to do everything possible to not only show this fool the door, this tangerine-hued, demented circus peanut, okay? We have got to show him the fucking door, okay? But we've also got to retake the Senate and strengthen our place in the U.S. House of Representatives. And
yeah, the Senate in particular cannot be overlooked. And every 2 years is a goddamn fight in the House. And we tend to focus most on the presidency. And turnout's higher in a presidential year, but...
And it's just so ludicrous.
And this next one's a minefield, Scott.
Oh, I know. And what I was surprised that you didn't bring up, because I saw it on Morning Joe earlier, this New York Times dual endorsement. Well, first of all, it's too goddamn early to be making presidential endorsements. And if you're going to pick somebody, pick one fucking person. You know, never mind this Warren Klobuchar deal. Or am I wrong on that? Because I just, it rubbed me the wrong way. Sorry, I don't mean to be so wound up this way.
No, that's okay, because I actually had it in the stack. But it seemed grievously uninformed. I'm not even talking about who they chose. But the idea of choosing two potential Democratic nominees, well, I mean, no, that's dumb. Because they chose two polar opposites. And by the way they wrote it, because I read the op-ed, it made him sound like they were checking boxes. Huh, well, okay, we got a couple of white women, but they're women, so good, we'll pick them.
Well, it just bugged me. I mean, but I then last night on FX, there's this show called The Weekly, and it's also on Hulu. And it was a 1-hour episode of The Weekly. And basically, it was the episode of the New York Times editorial board bringing in, I think, 8 or 9 candidates, or maybe it was 6 or 8.
Yeah, that's what the endorsement was based on, their interview.
Yeah. Well, watch that. And I know it was heavily edited for time, but it's like, you know, the New York Times still has some influence in the world. Okay. And I don't know about endorsements. I mean,
I think they're functionally worthless, but Scott, I got to get out of here, man.
No, don't go. You've been gone a week.
Yeah, I know, but I can't make it all up in one night.
Do you have to pee, Bob? Is that what it is?
It's been 3 hours, Scott, and I've got a 56-year-old prostate, okay?
Get you a relief tube. All right, Bob, take care.
Yeah, there went dinner in another time zone. I think we're working on Hawaii.
Dinner was gone hours ago.
I know, but I think we're working on Hawaii now.
Zits and God. All right, man, go ahead.
All right.
Go pee.
Later. Bye now. Oh, I hate making confessions like that. But that's the program. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Thank you, all of you who listen to the podcast. Thank you for sharing your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to everybody all of you who keep the program on the air. This is independent broadcasting, and so there's no ads, no commercials, no nothing. Thank you. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.